nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that. I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading that in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sounds like the resurrection. That sounds like Jesus, don't it? That sounds like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is. His presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God ain't going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You're qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did. But he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on it, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he had 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out 2 more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, say, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you, the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay? Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing and talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you had to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? There was a few of y'all wasn't here. I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now. Everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I need to come to somebody. I got to come to somebody that's got the light. Right? Because why? I'll be able to what? See. I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light. Right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this roster are talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did. Then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least being the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us. Or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, you've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to do.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to a familiar passage of Scripture found in Luke's account of the gospel. Chapter 22, and I want to commence reading at verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31, recorded of these words, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. For just a little while, I'd like us to focus on the thought, going through for more than you. Going through for more than you. My brothers and sisters, we have visited this text multiple times, and I am grateful and thankful to God for the fresh revelation as we walk through the Word and how God will visit us in the text, and he'll tailor the truth so that it reaches each of us where we are and then give to us that is necessary to help us so that we might grow stronger and recognize that there are things that we encounter in our lives when we almost forced to ask the question, why, Lord? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why have I gone through what I've gone through? Why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with when I've done my best to live right, pray right, give right, do right? It just seems like the more I do that is right, the more wrong that seems to happen to my life. Paul picked up this argument and said, whenever we attempt to do good, evil is always present. And one of the things you ought to be cognizant of is the fact that whenever you try, you attempt, you make headway in doing anything that's right and worthy of the praise and glory of God, that the enemy himself is on your trail to try and derail you from the good that you do. And so I want us to learn some things about this text as Jesus deals with Peter, who thought he had it all together. And Peter, who thought that he had himself in a place where he could control himself and that no other power or force outside of himself could ever make him do what he didn't want to do. But I got news for you. Either the Lord's going to control you or the devil. But somebody's going to be in control of you greater than you. Look at this word. The Bible says, and Jesus again has administered the Lord's Supper, and he's talking with them and telling them about things that are yet to come soon. And they get to this point where he advises the disciples about some things and issues, and he gets them in a place of being ready for all that is about to unfold. And then the Lord says to Peter, Simon, Simon. And whenever the Lord calls your name twice, it's for emphasis purpose. He is emphasizing emphatically that I want you to hear what I've got to say. It's like when the older folk used to call you by your whole name. You knew you were in trouble, or you knew they had something serious they wanted you to hear when they didn't call you by your nickname and didn't call you by your first name. But when they call you every bit of your name, you certainly perk up and you are ready to hear what is to be said. But look at what he says. Simon, Simon, behold. Behold is the primitive etymological root word that we get the word binocular from, which means to focus in, bring this thing close to you. See what I'm trying to share with you. Listen to what he says. Satan hath desired to have you. Listen at this. That was enough right there. He says, Simon, Simon, calling him out specifically, separating him from the others, making it clear that the enemy had picked him out. The enemy was pursuing him, and the enemy's plan was to prevail over him. he makes clear that Simon understands the severity of this situation, that he can't take this for granted, that he can't take this lightly. Man, you are on Satan's hit list. And I want to make it clear you're at the top of the list. Now notice this, because he says something that's interesting. He says, Satan hath desired. Desired. And this word in the Greek brings about a word that actually says a demand for trial. This word desire in this context means a demand for trial. Now, one of the things you got to recognize is, because God has given Satan leeway in this world, and there are some things that Satan has to go to God to get permission for, just as it was in the book of Job when God had found Satan in the midst in the assembly of the sons of God. And he asks him, where you been, Satan? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth seeking whom I may devour. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, I have, but you've got a hedge around. I can't do nothing with him, but if you curse him, if you touch him, I bet he'll curse you to your face. God said, no, I'm not an Indian giver. I don't do that, but I will allow you to try him, to test him. And so this word comes out literally of a demand for one to be tested. Because Satan is the prince of this air, he has authority in this world. He can't just do what he wants to do to God's people, but he must go to God to get permission to test or try anyone that belongs to the Lord. And so literally what he does is, and Jesus informs Simon that God has granted Satan permission to put you on trial. But here is the glory of the gospel. Jesus has given him a heads up. Now, it's one thing when you don't know you're being watched. It's one thing when you don't know you're being placed on trial. It's one thing when you don't know what's getting ready to go down. But it's a whole nother thing when you've been given a heads up. I wish I was talking to some people who understood what I was saying here. I'm so glad, let me put it this way, that the Lord don't let his people be fooled, tricked, and done wrong without, if they're prayed up, or if they know him, if they're seeking him or desiring or walking with him. He does not let the enemy just sneak up on them and do anything they want without him giving them some kind of warning. How many times has there been a time in your life when you knew something was brewing, something was going on? God didn't tell you every detail of the situation, but he gave you a heads up. Get ready. Something's going down. Something's getting ready to go down. He puts it in your spirit, and unrest and uneasiness, so that you'll be prepared to handle what the enemy is trying to sneak up on you. That's why I'm so glad. If we will listen to the lesson, the Lord will help us like he did Peter to understand that Satan has each one of us who belong to God and are worth something to God, who in any regards are bringing havoc on the kingdom of the enemy, that we are on Satan's hit list. Now, I want to tell you, everybody that belongs to the Lord isn't really on Satan's hit list. I mean, everybody who belongs to the Lord, who's not necessarily doing anything for the Lord, doesn't bother the devil. He only want to mess with those who's messing with his kingdom, messing with his stuff, messing with his structure, because it is because of us through prayer. It is because of us through his word, God's word. It is through us, through God's will and God's way, that we enact the will of God in the earth realm, give God the ability to come through us and work the works that he works, because we belong to him. And Satan, if he can get rid of us, then he can have his way in this world. So I want you to see something again, because Jesus alerts him that he's been picked out. He's being pursued, and Satan's desire is to prevail over him. Satan desires you, man. And he's made a demand, and God has honored his demand to allow you to be put on trial, to be tested. Listen at this. There are some things that I think you need to recognize and realize, as the Lord will give Satan the ability when he makes a demand upon us to be tried. Because God has already bragged and broadcasted that we are who he says we are. God has already served notice on Satan. When you were born again, God kept one copy, gave you one copy, and sent another copy to hell that he can't touch you. And Satan is going through his list and looking at how much you have done to his kingdom. And when he gets to the point where you are a threat to his kingdom, he puts you on the hit list. And so if any of you right now might be going through something, rejoice. Because here's what you've got to understand, that God counts you worthy to be put on trial, because at the same time he has placed limitations on Satan, which means that God would never allow him to test you above what you're able to endure and come out victorious in. So you need to know, if God has granted Satan this demand to try you, to prove that you are who God says you are, you need to rejoice, because God thinks you somebody. I don't think you heard me. I said God thinks you're somebody. The devil don't think you're anybody, but God believes in you. So this is what he tells Simon. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He says, but I have prayed for thee. Listen at this. That's why we need to understand he's giving Simon a heads up. Man, you're about to go through some stuff. You're about to be tested. You are on trial. I want to give you a heads up. The devil himself has you at the top of his hit list, and he would have done you in, Simon, but I have interceded for you. He went to his father. The father revealed it to the son through the spirit. The spirit of God through the son reveals it to Simon. Simon now knows the plan of the enemy. But look, Jesus doesn't just say you're on trial. Look at how he explains. He said that he may sift you as wheat. And in the olden days, wheat was placed in a big vast, and heavy animals like oxen and others were used to step all on the wheat to break the wheat up and separate it. Then large forks were taken and they were scooped down into the wheat and thrown up in the air. And every time they were thrown up in the air, that had been broken away from the wheat, called the chaff, would blow away in the wind, and the wheat and the heavy stuff would fall back to the ground. And then they'd let the animals walk back on it again and break it down some more. And they'd take a fork and throw it up in the air, and the rest of the particles start falling away and blowing in the wind, and the heavier part goes back to the ground. And they would take it all the way down until they have broken it down to the purest part of the wheat and ready for use. And he says, listen, the devil wants to do you like you all do wheat. Break you down where there is no covering. Break you down where there is nothing to protect you. Break you down so you're at your most vulnerable point. And then he wants to prevail over you. He says something very interesting. He says, but the transitional word. See, I would have been crying right now until I heard but. Because when he said but, I knew that wasn't the end of the story. That Satan wasn't going to break me down, tear me down, pull me apart like that. Because Jesus said but. Ooh, thank you, Jesus, for interceding. Oh, I know some of you sit here like you don't know what I'm talking about, but I want to serve notice. You wouldn't even be sitting here right now had the Lord not prayed for you. The devil has had many of us on his hit list time and time again, but every time he tried to do his due, thank God Jesus prayed for us. Anybody here know they've been prayed for by the Lord? The old saint used to say, I don't know where I'd be. What would I be? What would I do if it weren't for the Lord on my side? Where would I be? You ought to tell that pious looking neighbor sitting on the side of here, you're here.